As a candidate, Joe Biden pledged to appoint a presidential commission to study possible reforms of the judiciary system. It is partly a reaction to what progressives saw as the rushed confirmation of Justice Amy Coney Barrett just days before last year's election. But the nominating process is just one issue on which President Biden wants input from legal scholars.
I will ask them to come back to me with recommendations as to how to reform the court system, because it's getting out of whack.
That commission is now being formed by the White House counsel's office. David Freudberg from the public radio series Humankind has this report.
Various reform proposals have recently come to the fore among legal scholars. These include expanding the number of seats on the Supreme Court, which has been controversial in the past, but also setting term limits for justices who often serve into their 80s, and even changing the way Supreme Court cases are selected. And one idea seems to have special appeal for the Biden administration: diversify who sits on the federal bench. Kimberly Atkins, an attorney who has covered the Supreme Court, is a senior opinion writer at the Boston Globe.
The Supreme Court in recent history has become very coastal and very elite, right? Most of the justices were from either the East Coast or the West Coast. They were all former federal judges. They all went to elite schools. That hasn't always been the case.
A notable example is Earl Warren, one of the most influential chief justices in American history. He wrote the famous ruling, Brown versus Board of Education, which outlawed racial segregation in public schools. When he was appointed by President Eisenhower in 1953, Warren had never before served as a judge, although he had been Attorney General of California and later governor.
The Constitution doesn't even require that a Supreme Court justice be a lawyer, let alone be a lawyer who went to Princeton and Yale. And the president can make an effort to seek out people with different backgrounds. I mean, Justice Sandra Day O'Connor was a former legislator in Arizona. She was a politician before she was on the court, and that gives you a different perspective.
Federal judges represent a, quote, stunning lack of diversity, according to an analysis by the Center for American Progress. As of about a year ago, 80% of all sitting federal judges were white and 73% male. The U.S. population as a whole is 60% white, and slightly less than half of Americans are male. Professor Aaron Tang teaches law at the University of California, Davis.
There's an empathy gap in the federal judiciary right now. There's all sorts of social science research showing that, you know, we are predisposed for subconscious reasons as human beings to listen more closely to people who look like us, who have similar background experiences as us. And that's, I think, not a good thing when the judiciary is overwhelmingly white and male. And not just for sort of demographic, you know, visible demographic markers, but sort of background experience also, right? It's not a good thing that we've got all elite lawyers from elite law schools that have stocked the federal courts.
There are some really excellent proposals afloat to diversify the professional backgrounds of judges in a way that could also create more racial and ethnic and socioeconomic diversity.
Emily Bazelon is a staff writer for the New York Times Magazine and a senior research fellow at Yale Law School.
We right now have a federal bench that tends to be skewed toward corporate law practice and prosecutors. If we had more judges who had been public defenders or civil rights lawyers, that could really make opportunities for people who just see the law differently. It could just open up the kind of lens of the judiciary. Encouraging people to come to the bench who have the kinds of jobs that sometimes appeal to people of color because they have a sort of socially relevant component to them.
This would require a shift in how jurists are recruited, not to downplay the importance of being deeply qualified to serve as a federal judge, but to broaden out the definition of who is genuinely qualified.
you would ask different people for their recommendations about who should go on the bench instead of going to the U.S. Attorney's Office and asking them to pick their ambitious prosecutors. You would also go to the federal public defender or state public defender's offices and ask them to name talented people. You would go to the biggest civil rights groups in the same way that now, you know, the people who put together these lists in federal or state administrations usually go to the top corporate law firms. You would ask bar associations for people that have this kind of range of professional experience. I don't think it's actually very hard. You just have to will to do it.
The Biden administration recently informed the American Bar Association that the lawyers group would not have a role it has sometimes played in evaluating potential federal judges. Former President Trump had a similar policy with the association. The ABA represents nearly 200,000 American lawyers. During President Obama's tenure, most of the candidates rejected by the Bar Association were women or people of color. The ABA's president has said it is deeply committed to diversity and inclusion in the justice system. For Here and Now, I'm David Freudberg.